It's been a good week, an exhausting week, and now we're just getting started, ready to start Bible Institute Tuesday evening. Hope starts this week. Choice starts this week. Let's get Titus chapter 1, Romans 16. Titus chapter 1, Romans 16. Gets a seat. We'll settle in. Just not too comfortable. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm ringing up here, fellas. Lord, thank you for the blood that cleanses from all sin. Thank you for your book, your perfect book from a perfect God that makes sinners perfect in you. Lord, far from perfect in this world that we live and in this flesh that we dwell, but we just praise you for your mercy, your plan of redemption. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, doesn't know God as personal Savior, doesn't know where they'd spend eternity if they died today, I pray today they, you would just convey the simplicity of Christ, how simple it is to be saved. And Lord, and challenge your people. You've challenged me. You blessed me this morning. You knew what I needed this morning, Lord, like this message. Bless now your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I think this is the sixth message out of the book of Titus. We've made it a whole three verses. Paul, a servant of God, verse 1, chapter 1, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life. Now, that doesn't mean I'm crossing my fingers and I hope so. That's like the Japanese just attacked Pearl Harbor, but we got an atom bomb, so there's hope. That's what that means. We're not biting our nails. That's a hope that is sure and steadfast. I'm not biting my nails being saved. I got hope that I am saved, a purifying hope, a cleansing hope. I'm looking for that day. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, Paul says to Titus, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Now, Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul speaking, writing an epistle, a letter to the church at Rome. He said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. God had a plan of redemption to redeem man, to buy man, to purchase man back from where he found himself after the fall in the Garden of Eden when he sinned. He fell out of fellowship with God. He would really be under the jurisdiction of Satan and the god of this world after that. So God, from the foundation of the world, had a plan to become a man one day, to live as a man, to breathe as a man, to suffer as a man, to die as a man. The only thing he never did was sin as a man. And so he would be the propitiation. He would be the substitute. He would be the redeemer, that those that would trust him as Savior and the payment on the cross and the following death and the ultimate resurrection and ascension into heaven, those that would trust in him, he would be their substitute so that God would look at the sinner at judgment and see the Savior. Whereas when someone's not saved, God looks at the sinner at the judgment and he sees the sinner. I don't want him to see the sinner when he looks at me. I want him to see the Savior. So he shed that precious, spotless blood slain from the Lamb from the foundation of the world. And he's got this plan of redemption from the beginning of time. And this unfolding of this redemption plan throughout the ages is kind of like a surprise party. Now, I know some of you love surprise parties. I know Brother Quattro really loves them. Amen. He's got this plan of redemption ahead of time. There's a plan. It's in his mind, but it's a secret. That Bible calls that plan of redemption, from the view of the Old Testament saints, a shadow. Now, sometime you might look at a shadow and say, I can tell that who that is, or I got a feeling something's who that might be. But really, it was a secret, and people really couldn't get it and put it all together. Kind of like that person that's going to walk into the surprise party on their birthday. They have no idea. They don't know. They might know there's something up. But one day, in due time, it's all manifested. It comes out. And the recipients are very happy. Amen? The recipients of the redemption plan are very happy. Now, I don't know, Brother Tim, if there's any such thing as an unbelieving Calvinist. But the unbelieving Calvinist would say, I wasn't invited to the party. So they'd be upset. Looking back, it's all clear now. This is what Paul is conveying to the young preacher in verses 1 and 2. He's saying, back then it was a secret, but now it's manifested. And how is it manifested? It's manifested through preaching. Preaching. Now, that's not a popular word today. And one of the brothers texted me yesterday and he said, man, I'm excited about Titus tomorrow. And I thought to myself, I'm not. Then he said, give me a little preview. And I said, to be honest with you, I'm struggling. What's the matter? Another message on preaching. And you know what he said to me? He said to me, and I took it from the throne of God. He said, this next generation needs messages on preaching if they're going to develop preachers to reach the world. And I said, woo, that's just what I needed. And so a little bit about preaching. In spite of the world saying, don't get too preachy. Jesus Christ was the personified Word of God. That means, children, if the words that came out of God's mouth could be made into a person, it was. And it was Jesus Christ. Perfect. He's a perfect man. He's a perfect God-man. The Scriptures, are they written Word of God? Christ, the person of God, the Scriptures, the words of God, the personified Word of God, the written Word of God. We believe both are perfect. We don't believe what Christ, the personified Word of God, has errors, and we don't believe the written Word of God has errors. Now, preaching and teaching is God's method of one individual conveying the truth of the personified Word through the written Word to another individual. That's his method. That's what he chooses. And here's what Paul said in Titus. He said, but hath in due times, the secret's over, manifested his Word through preaching, which is committed unto me. In 1 Corinthians 9, he said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Imagine the holy, sinless, perfect God of heaven becoming a man, doing all the work, paying all the price, doing all that suffering, being given into the hands of sinful men to suffer, being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and now this precious story is locked up, signed, sealed, and delivered, and he has to entrust us with the message. What if that was money he entrusted us with? What if it was every time you preach the message, you get $10? Some of you'd be poorer than you already are. Think about that. All that he paid, all that he did, all that he went through, and then he had a tip. If I was God, I would have. I'll tell it my own self. I'm not going to trust sinners, but that's what he chose. He chose the foolishness of preaching. I wonder, are we trustworthy with what he has entrusted us with? He did all the work. It's all over. All we have to do is tell the blessed story. How that Christ died for your sins, how that he was buried, how that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, isn't that difficult? Why preaching? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. This will reiterate what the pastor said when he was baptizing the two young people today. For Christ sent me not to baptize. They were arguing over who baptized. Pastor Pope baptized me. Well, Pastor Camilleri baptized. Well, I'm of neither one of them. I was baptized by Jesus. Anyways, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ, like that would be psychology and psychobabble and all that stuff that they try to incorporate today. The wisdom of man's words. Not with the wisdom of man's words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. If I get too much wisdom of man's words, it nullifies the price that he paid. Okay? Here it is. This is God speaking. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That means they're too smart for their own good, in plainer words. It pleased God. Do you want to please God? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why didn't singing the gospel please him? And I'm for singing. In fact, I like singing because it's not so in your space. See, preaching is kind of in your space. It's a little bit confrontational when I'm saying, I got something here that's true that you don't have that you need. Well, guess what? A lot of people don't like you telling them when you pull up to their house and they got a yacht on one side and a 50-foot motorhome on the other side and this big mansion and you're a little hobo with a suit that you got at the Goodwill, and you say, I got something you need. You know what I like when we get in those streets? You ask me why I'm happy, and now I'll tell you why. Because my sins are gone. It's not so confrontational. You know why the whole Church of Jesus Christ in our day is being re-engineered to make the gospel more palatable? They're getting rid of preaching. There's only one problem with that. God said that he uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The great awakening that swept across Europe when scores got saved and swept across America in the early days of our land happened through preaching and prayer. Not rock concerts and drama teams. Maybe that's why we're so dry and cold and undone and anemic today, but I'll stay positive. It used to be church was about preaching. Music set the table, but everybody waited with anticipation to be preached to and fed by the Word of God. Why not singing? Because God said preaching. Why not drama? It's so much more. Well, all the teenage girls said, yeah, why not drama? We got enough drama. Amen. You know what I mean? A skit, an illustration. I'm for it. And I'm for singing. We put on community Christmas concerts and such. But I'm afraid that the modern church is through man's wisdom, said we could entertain them to Jesus. See, entertainment can pull the heartstrings. There's only one problem. God said it's the foolishness of preaching. He said, go and preach. He didn't say, go and sing the gospel. He didn't say, go and dramatize the gospel. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, bear with me. Don't shut me off. Why not just leave something to read? Put it on a billboard. Put it on a tract. Put it on a shirt. Put it on a yard sign. You know why? This way they can observe from a distance. Because when I open my mouth, there's just something that's my flesh said, ooh, they're not going to like this. And the radio man said, they're not going to like this. And the White House man said, they're not going to like this. And the Muslim man said, they're not going to like this. And the Christian rock man, he said, they're not going to like this. We got all these things coming against us. That's why we got to get our noses in the Bible and see what God says, that it pleaseth God by the foolishness of preaching. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Here's what Paul said. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Why preaching, God? Here's what I think. So you and I can't take no credit. Oh, we got this drama team. And I'm not making sport. I'm not questioning anyone's heart motive. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm just preaching the Bible. We got this music program. We've got this drama team. We got this worship and praise. And the people are just flocking. We. What do you got? We got a preacher. We got a preacher. The foolishness of preaching. A man getting up, opening up a book that he's claiming was inspired by some guys 2,000 years ago, 40 different authors, 3 different continents, over a span of 1,500 years, y'all sitting there with a book in your lap, and he's talking about a God nobody's ever seen, going to a place where nobody's ever been, and you're sitting there saying amen. Oh, this book is true. You can't take credit if you use the foolishness of preaching. Here's another reason. God has wired us, I believe, to respond to testimony. Bear with me. The vitamin world knows this. I'm Johnny Bench, and I got a lot of aches and pains, and I take Blue Emu. And it doesn't stink, and I put it on my elbows, and I feel good. And if you take it, you will too. And guess what? The Blue Emu peat. To me, it sounds like an elk in the Arctic or something. A blue, there's a blue emu. Get him. The weight loss community. The weight loss advertisers. Oh, the weight loss product people. I've heard a lot about, I finally got the name right, Trim Healthy Mama. I thought it was Big Homeschool Mama. I kept saying, no, Pastor, it's Trim Healthy Mama. And I didn't know much about it. I mean, I know a little bit about it. And so I looked it up. And it says, forget the fad diets. Join the food freedom movement. Counting calories is out. Really? All the food groups are in. Now, the fine print says only at certain times, and if you don't put them together, and sugar's out. But let's keep reading. Becoming trim and healthy doesn't have to be difficult or painstaking anymore. Here it is now. Here's the testimony. Why these two sisters are rich. After trying almost every fad diet out there, Serene Allison and Pearl Barrett, and let me quantify something right now. If you got weight troubles and this works for you, do it. I say use what works for you. And Pearl Barrett, creators of the Trim Healthy Mama movement, took matters into their own hands. through trial and error and much research, they created the Trim Healthy Mama Plan. The Breakthrough Lifestyle Program helped readers of all ages and stages get healthy, slim down, and keep off the weight once and for all. And what I wanted to do, Brother Jay, I wanted to see what the book looked like. And there they were. Two trim, healthy mamas. And you know what they was wearing? Long, white, flowing. To me, it looked like wedding dresses. Man, there's mothers with children, and I think they home educate, and they look like they looked on their wedding day. And you know what? It worked for him. I lost 40 pounds. Who's the quarterback for the Dolphins in the good old days? Dan Marino. I'm Dan Marino. I picked up a little weight. I gained 40 pounds. But I lost 40 pounds on the Nutrisystem plan. And it can work for you. It's only $300 a month. You can get SpaghettiOs in a styrofoam thing. You can get synthetic desserts. And you get one of those a day. And I lost 40 pounds. And you can too. And you know you fall for it. And so was I. I read a thing on an airplane one time. Man, by the time I got off that airplane, I ran to the phone, took my credit card out. I got this big old thick book. That's in the days when they didn't have computers. You had to read a book. You know, that thing was 500 calories a day. That's how much toothpaste gets down my throat when I brush my teeth, man. You know why they all... You know why advertisers make money? I'm short, fat, and ugly, but I bought this car and now all the girls are standing across the street staring at it. You know why they advertise? Because it makes money, and they wouldn't if it didn't. You know why? Because God's wired us to respond to one person telling another person that's in need, I've got something that worked for me and it can work for you. That's why He's chosen preaching. So concerning the gospel, redemption and the forgiveness of sins and heaven through Jesus Christ, as contained in the scripture, and I use this, I don't mean to be irreverent to the Lord, that's the product. Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, knowing God, a home in heaven, realizing where I came from, what my purpose is for being here, and where I'm going when I die. That's what we got to offer. Preaching, not singing. Not tracking, not this, not that. Preaching presents the package and said, I got something that you need, and it worked for me. Now, let's look at some Bible. Acts 22 and Acts 26. Paul used it. Why preaching? Paul's preaching to these folks here. Men and brethren, Acts chapter 22 and verse 1. This is the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus Christ is resurrected and ascended into heaven. He gives the job to the church. He commits the gospel unto them. And this is one of the finest men that ever did what was committed to his trust. Men and brethren and fathers, hear my defense which I make unto you. And when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, to them, they kept more silence as he saith, I am verily a man. And he says all that. And I'm going to skip ahead here. In verse 6. And it came to pass as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noonday. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. This is how he got saved. You know how you get saved? The same way Ethan got saved. You get in a book, you show them the Romans Road, how to be saved. They trust that Christ as their Savior, repent of their sin, that's how you're saved. So we're not looking for bells and whistles, but this is before the Scripture was completed. So he's walking down, he's persecuting Christians, he's lost, he hates everybody. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And when they that were with him, with me, saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, rise, go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. What are you saying all that for, Paul? You said, woe is me. Why don't you just say, Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again, turn or burn? No, he said, Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And let me tell you what happened to me. Acts 26. Was that, what was that we were just in? 22. Let's go to 26. Verse 14. Here he is in front of another crowd. Agrippa, he's standing before a king. When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul. Here he goes again. And he almost persuades this king to be saved through truth and a testimony. Preaching packs the punch of you and I giving a truth that works. Entertainment and drama can stir the emotion, but preaching relates person to person. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know what an epistle is, right, children? An epistle is a letter. Paul wrote the epistle to the church at Ephesus. He wrote a letter. Now he's talking to a people. And look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Ye, you people there, are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. I met this tall, skinny guy 29 years ago. He was a Bible thumper that I was forced to do business with. He had a Bible on his desk. He had a scripture on his wall. And he had tracts and another small Bible in his pocket. And he said to me one day, I just bring this up. He goes, if you ever see me with this, without this Bible in my pocket, I'll give you a dollar. I've been keeping track ever since you haven't had that. You're about $1,700. And from about February to May of 1986, before many of you were even an idea, this is what the summation of what he said to me. I used to be cool like you, but I had no peace till I got this truth that you need. And like Paul on the road to Damascus, and how he would convey that story, he said, yeah, man. He said, this guy invited me to church. I went home, told my Catholic wife, I'm going to church. She said, where are you going? And he said, I got my three-piece suit on. He had an afro, if you can believe that. He had a big old afro with those forks that they, and he walked. He said, look at all these people with these Bibles. Hypocrites, who are these people? And if all things they were preaching on stewardship. That's money. We don't ever preach on money here. Hey, how many churches are you going to go to where you ain't had an offering plate passed under your nose? God will take care of us. God wants your soul. Listen, he said, this guy took this Bible? Now, I'm a lost man. I'm a cool fool, skipping work. And he said, and he flopped it. And he said, for the first time in my life, my eyes looked at something pure. I came home on May 1986, and this book was laying in my front porch, and it said, Holy Bible. A leather Bible. My best friend never spent $30 on me. And he said, present it to Joe Camilleri. The perfect man, the only thing wrong with him, he's got terrible penmanship. And he spelled my last name wrong. C-A-M-M-A-L-L-E-R-I. By J.R. Folk. Joe, this is the greatest gift outside of salvation you will ever receive. Listen now, listen. Why preaching? And I'd go home at night and I'd read a book. And I'd go to work during the day and I'd read a man. See, I can't read a man on the praise team or the choir. Oh, yes, this is nice in mass, but no man ever cared for my soul. God sought for a man to stand in the gap, and that's what I was looking for. A man that would tell me, what is this all about? I got my college education. I got my money in the bank. I got a beautiful wife and a baby on the way. I got a nice home in the suburbs. I got a boat on the side. I got a trailer on the other side. What's it about? I go home, read the Bible, Manny. I go to work and read a man. Preaching don't have to be loud. And preaching don't have to be in mass. That's why some of you are scared of it. Oh, I don't want to preach to... Listen. Philip went over there, sat on that chariot with that eunuch. He says, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? He'd say, how can I accept some singer should guide me? How can I accept some drama team should guide me? How can I? And he opened up the scripture and he said, he didn't say, the Bible says. He preached unto him Jesus. He said, oh, you got a Lincoln? I said, yeah, I got me a nice Lincoln. He said, I had a GTO. Man, I love that car. It just didn't give me no peace. Just this truth gave me peace. Oh, your wife's pregnant with her first baby. Isn't that exciting? He said this, what are you going to do when they grow up and come home and cuss you out? I said, they won't be alive if I do it the way my dad did it. He said, why? You say it's wrong? Yeah. What's your authority? He said, they learn situation ethics. They learn the circumstance. Who are you to say what's wrong and right? And by this time, I was like a salivating dog looking at kielbasa hanging off the edge of the table. And I said, guess what I said? I said, what do you say? He could have said, I go in the backyard, stand on my head, spit black jelly beans. I would have said, pass the bag. He said, I tell him, God said. I go home and read the Bible. I go to work and read a man. That's why he's chosen preaching. This is truth. This says it works. Now, don't confuse it works with, well, it didn't work for you. You're divorced. You got wayward kids. You got cancer. You're broke. You're unemployed. What do you mean it works? Paul had nothing when he ended up in a prison cell. He said, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know where I came from. I know what I'm doing here, the purpose for living, and I know where I'm going when I die. That's what works. How can this man have such confidence living in such miserable conditions? One word, Jesus. Jesus. And so he's preaching to me and I'm reading him and I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading the Holy Word and a holy life. And all of a sudden there was a third one popped in there, the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a force I had never messed with before. Maybe I resisted a bunch. And this still small voice, not audible, said, you know, he's telling you the truth. Oh, Mr. Tough, bodybuilder, suntan, got it all together, you know he's got something you want. And you know it's not religion. You know it's in a person. That's why he chooses preaching. I couldn't deny it. Now, the world and the flesh and the devil, your flesh, and even the church today will say, abandon preaching. Tickle their ears with philosophy and the rudiments of the world. And good. The Pope this morning calls for mercy on the refugees. Could you imagine me getting the ear of 100,000 people in Vatican Square? I'd tell you what I'd tell them. Hell is for sinners. Heaven is for forgiven sinners. Which are you? They're preaching eradicate famine, and they're starving more than ever before. They're preaching peace, and there's more wars than ever before. Stop. Be nice. Don't step on their toes. If you're going in a burning building, and me stepping on your toes will stop you from going and ruining your life and burning your soul, I'm going to step on your toes. In Jesus' name. I'm here to tell you God's method is preaching. So he says, Titus, got this plan, it was hid, but now it's manifest through preaching, and that's committed unto me, and Titus, it's committed unto you, and we're going to get to next week, we're going to make a structure that's going to be an organization that is going to be the home base of getting it out like we saw. You see what the guy's doing over there? Church, church, church. I'm for public ministry. I think it's scriptural. I'm for door-to-door. You notice you didn't see him one time. Now, you know those people didn't just walk in that place. They were one somewhere. As the brother from Uganda said, we need more churches, more churches. If you're going to feed them with your home base being a church. Amen. Now, back to Titus and we'll finish up. See, a church will outlast you because he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Titus chapter 1, verse 5, he gives them this whole thing. He says, look, it was kept secret back then, but now it's made manifest. It's committed unto me for this cause. And hope of eternal life, Titus. That's our message that he uses. And he wants it out through preaching and for this cause. Now, do you remember someone else that said something about a cause? Is there not a cause? Remember David? David and Goliath. Remember big old Goliath? He was a killer. He just wanted to kill. I mean, big old David, this big old Goliath, this big old giant wants to do a number on God's puny people. And David stand up and said, is there not a cause? You come to me with swords and staves. You come to me with terrorism. You come to me with ISIS. You come to me with liberalism. You come to me with same-sex marriage. You come to me with abortion. You come to me with a wicked government. You come to me with outlawing Christianity. But I come to you in the name of the living God. And he said there's a cause. The devil's a murderer. There's a lot of murdering going on. You know what Jesus said? He said, in the end times, people say, what is going on? The love of many will wax cold. And here's what's unprecedented about what we see today. It's not a big war somewhere where people are dying. It's not a Stalin or a Hitler or a Pol Pot or some personality that if we just took out that all this death would be eradicated. It's children killing children in high schools. Well, it's those Muslim terrorists. It wasn't in our city last week when they mowed down those three kids coming out of that rec center. It wasn't Islamic terrorism that shot that a poor police officer pumping gas into his car, emptied his clip into him. You know what that's the fruit of? That's a fruit of a nation that's forsaken God. He said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You turn from me, I'll turn from you. And this is what you get. You want to kill babies in the womb for 30 years? You want to kick God out of the schools? You want to say killing is okay, and this is okay, and that's okay? Help yourself. This is what you got. And if you think your candidate is going to fix that, you better keep smoking whatever you're smoking, because it ain't going to happen. I watched this news clip. Listen, more migrants and refugees are arriving in Europe than ever recorded before. As war, persecution, and poverty continue to drive people from their homes, and the numbers are still rising, one in every 122 people in the world is currently either a refugee, internally displaced, or seeking asylum, listen, because, quote, the world is a mess. Now, you know who said that? The head of the United Nations Refugee Agency. Those kind of people don't say negative stuff like that. The United Nations, everything's getting better. If we just fan the flicker of light in man, we'll all grow. It's getting worse, just like Jesus said it was going to. You know what this refugee, I know where he was from, they're crossing into Austria, they're crossing into Germany, they're going up through the northern ways and just flooding into these places. And this man, as best as he could get it out in his broken English to that reporter, said, they're killing everybody. Well, who are they killing? He said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what you believe. They're just killing everybody. You say, what's that? That's Goliath. There's no uniforms. They're not isolated anywhere. No motives. Just walk in a movie theater and blow everybody away. Not adults, kids. That's what we got going on. They have no answers. And anyone that tells you, we're going to make America great again, without this, this is what made America great. Across all stripes, I don't care what it was the fear of God. A people that could govern themselves, because if dad and mom don't whip me, God might. And we got the answer. We've been entrusted with the answer, not to make a better world, to make a better life. Oh, you mean success and Benny Hinn and name it and claim it and I can drive a Cadillac? No! You can know the God of heaven. You can be sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to live in hope of eternal life. That's our message. And I was excited to hear, I needed this, because you know what, I'll just be honest with you. I know you all are spiritual enough, you don't get discouraged or down, but this has been bothering me. Last year at this time, I was discipling three monsters of men. Remember those three guys? I mean, we put an inch of water in the baptismal tank and it still overflowed with these guys. Remember that boy we won that came to church at the Corey. Remember Corey? Of course, we won Jeff last year. And you know what? I look around now. Where is everybody? Jeff's the only one that stuck with it. Well, I shouldn't say that. But this guy went his way. This guy went that way. That discourages me. Does that ever discourage you? I tell you what bothers me worse is when it doesn't bother me anymore. I'm just going to ride it out, do the best I can with God's people. You better be careful about that. You better be careful about hearing about these souls saved at a VBS and sitting there in your little whited castle saying, Have we come to the place that it doesn't bother us that people are going to hell and we got the truth? And that's why I needed it and maybe you needed it. He's chosen the foolishness of preaching. He's committed it to our trust. And if it's not been bothering you, well, this is just the way it is. And maybe it is the way it is. But not bothering us shouldn't be the way it is. Let's stand.